Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida. I almost said Lexington.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 4th, 2012, episode 397, and it's brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
Hey, Jamie, before I play the sound I have for this morning, I got to tell you, what I did is we don't have the usual Friday opener. What I did is put a special package together to get everybody in the mood for the Derby. And this is some of the Triple Crown winners. But let me tell you, we are going back a long, long way.
Awesome.
A beautiful day in Louisville for the 63rd running of the Kentucky Derby in 1937. 103 colts nominated for this one, 20 go postward, headed by number one War Admiral, a good one with Charlie Kurtzinger. He's the 8-5 favorite, and he's a little bit fractious at the gate. Settle down there, War Admiral, we're ready. 20 of them coming out of there, and Heel Fly breaks on top, but the Admiral's out of early trouble. Charlie Kurtzinger sends him up as they come through the stretch for the first time. Now they move around the turn. The leader, War Admiral, 2.5 for 3. Who can catch him? Pompoon says, I can. He drives up on the outside into second place in the final quarter. Here they come into the stretch. It's War Admiral. The crowd is screaming. Pompoon is on second. 3/16 of a mile to go. It's War Admiral, 2 lengths. Pompoon's under left-handed whipping, doing his best. But he's not catching the Admiral yet. They're in the final 16th, and on top it's War Admiral with Pompoon on the outside. But they're waving the stick. Charlie Kurtzinger is waving the stick at the Admiral. He's drawing away. He's an easy winner, and here comes the finish. War Admiral, much the best, with Pompoon second.
The camera highlights in the world of sports. And they're away. Pounding down the straightaway past the stand, the crafty maneuvering of jockeys raiding high-strung thoroughbreds in the run to the turn. Dispose leading the pack out in front by a length and a half. Corners Cap, Blue Pair, Odd Boots, and Robert Morris closely bunched behind the flying leader. Whirl Away, betting favorite, eased smartly by jockey Eddie R. Carroll in the tight going at the turn. For jockey R. Carroll now, they're alone with a critical moment when Whirl Away, number 4, heads for the stretch turn. His dangerous habit of going wide, but R. Carroll knows his mount, and with canny skill and a master's touch, guides the chestnut cone-awaited realization of a cherished hope when Whirl Away is acclaimed $61,000 winner in America's Greatest Run for the Roses.
Citation, the hard-charging thoroughbred ridden by Eddie Arcaro, came from 8 lengths back to overtake Coal Town and win the 1948 Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs.
Secretary throws his head a bit. And they're off. The leaders as they come forward out of the stretch. They're at the head of the stretch, and Sam is the leader. He leads it by a length. Secretary is in the center of the racetrack and driving. Jackie Green now drops back. Coming on a bit is Forgo, our native on the outside. Now and then the stretch, it's Secretariat. Secretariat on the outside to take the lead. Sham holding in second. It's Secretariat moving away. He has it by 2.5. Sham, then on the outside, our native. At the wire, it's going to be Secretariat.
Well, there you go.
Wow. Wow, just listening to that just gives you goosebumps because it's so historical. And I think what you're doing by playing that, Glenn, is you are, you know, because this is the Derby year of there's no favorite. There's no one standout. Well, maybe by the end of it, because you played that, we are so going to have a Triple Crown winner this year. Nobody's going to expect it. Nobody's going to see it coming, and boom, it's going to happen. I can't wait.
I had forgotten that the last two Triple Crown winners were Seattle Slew in 77, and what I had forgotten was that we had the next Triple Crown winner the next year in 78 affirmed. I forgot there were 2 years in a row.
Yes, they were. Three in the 70s. Three of them with, Secretariat in 1973. So it was a good year, but that was the last one. That was absolutely it.
That's right. That is correct. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the other thing I didn't remember until I started going through these sound files and looking for them was that they've been running 20 horses in this race since, like, the early 1900s. I thought there were less horses back then. But apparently it was been 20.
That's amazing. That is amazing. It's such a big field. And, yeah, I don't remember always having 20, but I guess so. So, that was an awesome sound clips, Glenn. Good job.
Thank you. It's kind of fun to put them together to watch the races because now that one, the one for Citation, they don't have the original sound from the race. So that's why I put that little news clip in the middle of there. Not even on the Kentucky Derby page under the historical sound clips, they just don't have one. Isn't that
sad? You know
sad?
What's really cool? That is amazing that it was that long ago and there was no technology like that. But have you been to the Kentucky Derby Museum at Churchill Downs?
Yes. Now, we were there before they've remodeled it now since they had the flood there a couple of years ago. And I hear now it's even cooler.
There is the one thing I really remember, I only went probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and they have this, almost like this, it's like a video game, and you can choose any Kentucky Derby that has ever been recorded on film and watch it, and they play it with the audio and everything. So yeah, I must have watched 50 Kentucky Derbies in a row, standing there in front of this machine, like, oh, here's this horse. Let me watch a firm. Let me watch Seattle Slew. And you can watch any race. So if anybody does go to Louisville, you've got to go see the Kentucky Derby Museum because it is awesome.
And you can do that, actually, on their website. If you go to KentuckyDerby.com, go to Derby Experience, and you want to go under Derby Experience to go to History. And under History, you can actually pick every year back to the first year, 1875. It gives you the history of the winner, the jockey, the trainer, the owner. Plus, if they have audio or video, it shows you the audio or video.
Oh,
all
my gosh, how cool. You don't even have
years.
To go to the museum.
You can do it right here. That's right. You can do it right here. And I was looking back, and there is audio from back. The one I thought was interesting, and I can probably play a little bit of it for you if you want me to. Let me get this plugged in here. The one I thought was interesting was you go back to 1929. Now, you got to remember, that's right before the Depression starts. So it's not a great time in the country. And Clyde Van Dusen wins. But when you watch, they actually had a video of this. And when you watch the video, the track is a lake. It looks like it's rained for a month. The track is just a lake. I mean, some of these videos were incredible to watch from way, 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 way 100 years ago.
That's so cool. That is awesome. Before, I know you're postponing the inevitable, Glenn, and I just want to go ahead and I know you're stalling because you don't want to take the Kentucky Derby quiz. Let's go ahead to Jennifer and find out what is on today's show.
Hey, I think, Jennifer, you're on mute. There you go, Jennifer.
You got to my back. Got to turn that mic up.
Yes,
there you
back.
Go.
Yeah.
Didn't want everybody to hear me blowing my nose all morning. On Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday, our daily Derby discourse continues as we check in with our adopted thoroughbred Mucho Macho Man's connections, owner Dean Reeves and trainer Kathy Ritvo will be here this morning to talk to us about what Mucho Macho Man is up to and what it's like to be a Derby contender. And we will be testing the memory banks of Glenn as he takes on all comers for a Derby trivia quiz. And Glenn is a long shot, by the way. And thank goodness, it's really bad ads again today. So stay tuned as Glenn and Jamie sink to unheard-of depths of silliness, reading a long list of listener-submitted ads.
Now, I have an epic story to go along with really bad ads. I mean, maybe it's not epic, but I want to let everybody know that you've got to take... That's true. I could make it epic. But I actually lived out a really bad ad yesterday. I mean, and I gave this person plenty of chances to not make the show today. I tried so hard to have this woman not become a live in-your-face really bad ad, but I couldn't help it. She just kept throwing herself under the bus. So that's coming right after 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
I do want to file a little bit of a because I think you have rigged this quiz. I think you've rigged the quiz because you asked for listeners, you know, to you know, write in and everything, and then all of a sudden this morning I'm hearing that there's possibly an educated listener going to be playing against me. A little more educated than most normal people about racing. And I think you've rigged this to make me look stupider than I was going to look in the first place.
I didn't want you to know who you were going to play. So that sucks that you found out. Yes. He may not know the history of the Kentucky Derby, but Frankie Lovato's going to give you a run for your money. And I'm very excited.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cheating, actually. That's kind of cheating.
Not cheating at all.
My Daily Wendy goes out to Ashley Woodard, who posted on our Facebook page, and she posted a picture of her beautiful paint, and she said, "Happy spring from Gracie in Pennsylvania." Well, My Daily Wendy is for both Ashley and Gracie, the paint from Pennsylvania. It looks lush and green there, as Pennsylvania always is in the springtime. So have a terrific weekend, Ashley and Gracie. And I'm trying to find a day.
I have some exciting news, Glenn, some really exciting news. You never know when this stuff is going to happen. And yesterday I found out that I have some more family. I have now some long lost relatives that I did not even know were part of my family, and I'd like to welcome them to the Les Massey, now Jennings clan. I'll send you guys Christmas cards. I'll have you over for dinner. You can come over. You can come over and watch Kentucky Derby with me because my long lost relatives just purchased Calumet Investment Group Trust. Calumet Farm, bought by my long-lost relatives. I'm so excited to welcome you guys to the family. They won't return my calls, but I've been trying. And their names are the Calumet Investment Group Trust, and they just purchased Calumet Farm's 799-acre property for $36 million. I guess I didn't really know Calumet was up for sale. They've been really hush-hush about this whole thing, and I guess rumors were swilling when Calumet might be purchased by this trust, and everybody was starting to find out, but they're really not letting you know who is in the Calumet Investment Group Trust. That's why I'm claiming the whole thing as my long-lost relatives. Maybe there's a connection to one of the people in the trust, but the farm is going to be leased to Hurricane Hall and Bluegrass Hall, which are Central Kentucky thoroughbred operations owned by a billionaire, and he might be family too, billionaire businessman Brad Kelly. So congratulations to all of them, and, you know, we're going to see another day where Calumet is going to stay the same.
You know, Hurricane Hall is a farm that, as where we used to live in Lexington, when we'd drive to the Kentucky Horse Park on Richmond Road, you'd pass Hurricane Hall. It was on your left as you're heading out to the horse park. And that guy is actually this Kelly guy who operates them. Uncle Kelly, that's right. He is a Franklin, Kentucky native, and he actually made his money in tobacco. Now, get this, Jamie, get this. He sold his cigarette company in 1990. He sold the business for $1 billion, or actually he took over the cigarette business in 1990. He sold it in 2001 for $1 billion. Since then, he has acquired more than, are you ready for this? Jet could eat himself to death a million times over because you could put him out on Mr. Kelly's 1.7 million acres of property.
Shut up.
You heard me right. He owns 1.7 million acres of property in Florida, New York, Texas, and New Mexico, making him like one of the top three landholders in the world.
Well, he's up there with Ted Turner,
yeah,
who owns like a billion acres, and Madeline Pickens. Now, Madeline is giving back. She has bought land for wild horses. Now, I really think that Uncle Kelly, Brad Kelly, needs to give back and maybe have a retirement center. Maybe he does already, but I'm going to call Uncle Kelly and let him know that I would be happy to manage about 100,000 of those acres and make a thoroughbred retirement center. I think that's a brilliant idea. I'll take it.
I do too. And could you do me a favor while you're on the phone with Uncle Kelly? Could you just tell him that we would be happy to have an investor in the horse racing? Would be.
You know, Glenn, I must say that Uncle Kelly is a very busy man, and I might not be able to squeeze that in because I will have quit my job.
All right, you work on that a while, and we'll see how that one goes. We'll see. Now, Calumet, obviously, has had an interesting history. Jennifer, there was a book that was written about Calumet. I can't remember the name of it right now, but I'll have it. And actually, I think Jamie's dropped off here for a minute. She'll be right back. So, you know, this book that was written was very, very interesting, and I can't remember the name of it right now. We'll find out from them. Jamie, are you back?
I am back. Did that scare you? I said I was going to quit my job, and then I dropped.
I know, then you left. What is the book about Calumet?
The book is, I'm about to lose you again. The book is called Wild Ride.
Wild Ride. Okay. That's right. Okay.
It's awesome. It is awesome. It is like, it's like Dallas. You know, like that, like the old money back in Texas, you know, and you've got all the scandals and you've got all the soap opera drama and the history. Well, this book, Wild Ride, it'll keep you turning pages like you would not believe. It is awesome. And there's just updates for it. They should sell an updated version.
Yeah, new chapter about this mysterious trust buying it.
Uncle Kelly, here we go.
Well, we actually have your shill on the line, the one you have placed against me in the trivia contest, who is on the line here. And let's say good morning to Frankie Lovato. How are you, Frankie?
Good morning, guys. How are you? Happy Derby time.
Happy Woo-hoo! Derby!
Happy Oaks Day. It's Oaks Day.
It is Oaks Day.
Girl power.
And that's the closest I got to riding the Derbies. I rode the Oaks about three times, I think. But
bragger.
Didn't win it, though. I thought I was going to win it one year. But
what's the atmosphere like there, even for the Oaks? Because you pack the place for the Oaks. Today will be packed. The atmosphere there, even for the Oaks, must be just unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, it's basically everyone's there that's going to be there for the Derby, and it's just a great celebration. And for the listeners, the Oaks is the Derby for the Phillies, basically. I mean, that's what it is.
And people are pretty much drunk from 9 o'clock in the parking lot on. So they pretty much stay drunk from Friday morning through Sunday morning, right?
That's correct. That is correct.
So proud. So proud.
Go America.
I know. Go America. It rated really, really embrace the horse racing culture of Kentucky. It's awesome. All right. So, gentlemen, we've got a quiz, and Glenn just uploaded some sound effects. So I want to hear these real quick.
Yep.
Oh, I'm not
that
playing
means,
that.
That's the buzzer.
I'm
that's
familiar
for
with
being
that.
Wrong. Now, there's no sound effect for being right because you're just going to have to make a bell sound.
Okay.
I like this one for getting it wrong better. I think I'm going to stick with that. Okay, boys. Here's how it works. Your name is your buzzer, okay? So when I start to ask the question, you can't just say, oh, me, because I won't have known who said it first. Jennifer, you've got to be the judge. So Frankie, obviously you say Frankie, Glenn, and whoever says their name first gets to answer the question. Now, there is multiple choice on several of these. It's either multiple choice
Thank
or
God.
True or false. Yeah. But your name is your buzzer. Now, you get to ring in first, and then you have the option of, you know, either answering it, or if you get it wrong, the other person, the second person, gets to hear the rest of the question, all the choices, and then gets to make a guess. So you get to either buzz in first if you think you just know it. But if not, the other person does have the ability and the chance to follow up and answer the question. Are you ready?
You're going sure. down, Frankie. I've been studying. I've been studying for the last 10 minutes before the show started. I'm good to go.
All right. Here we go. Number one. The Kentucky Derby takes place at Churchill Downs.
Frankie.
Named after the...
Wait a minute. He said Frankie.
I thought, okay. Winston Churchill.
That is actually a great guess, but unfortunately, the Kentucky Derby takes place at Churchill Downs, named after the relatives of the descendants of which famous explorer? A. William Clark, B. Meriwether Lewis, C. Jonathan Carver, or D. Zebulon Pike?
Now, if he doesn't get the answer, he doesn't get the point, right?
Correct. Nobody gets a point. This is the hardest one, by the way.
This is a hard one.
I don't know this one. I really don't have any idea. So I'm going to say, Glenn,
B. Meriwether Lewis. And let's see. William Clark is the famous Lewis and Clark son, grandson of the famous Lewis and Clark expedition. First caught the horse racing bug after visiting the Epsom Derby in England. He went on to found the Louisville Jockey Club and build Churchill Downs, named after the relatives on his mother's side who provided the land for the racetrack. It's
If they would have named him after the other side, I'd have gotten the answer right.
Well, you were wrong. So
it'd be Clark Downs. Then I would have got it right. Did you know that one, Frankie, by the way? Would you have gotten that had
no,
you not jumped in prematurely? No, okay,
nope.
Good.
No, I would not.
I like this one. Okay, here we go. Number two, true or false? From start to finish, the Kentucky Derby covers 1.5 miles.
Frankie. False.
Very good, very good. It is 1.25 miles. Glenn, seriously?
It used to be, I can get an extra credit point because it used to be 1.5 miles back in 1874 when they first ran it, but then they shortened it because it was too much for the three-year-olds to handle, they felt. So that's an extra credit point for me, I think.
Actually, it was 1896, so it's minus a point.
I don't have any notes in front of me. That's, you can
I didn't
tell.
Have that notes. Study. I happened to read that yesterday. I didn't have it in front of me.
Well, you
okay.
read incorrectly. All right. So number three, your name is your buzzer. What breeder or owner has the most Kentucky Derby winners? Is it A, Overbrook Farm, B, Windstar Farm, C, Calumet Farm, or D, Dixiana Farm?
Frankie.
Glenn.
Frankie.
Calumet.
I was
nope.
Glenn Hush. What'd you say, Frankie?
Calumet Farm.
Ding, 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 ding. All right, Jennifer, give Frankie now has 2 points. Your husband has 0. Jennifer, I need you to keep score. I can't keep up with all this stuff. So that is 2 out of 3 for Frankie. Okay, number four. Glenn, there's plenty left. True or false? No other country besides the United States has produced a Derby winner.
Frankie.
True. Glenn.
False.
Glenn gets a point. has produced two Tommy Lee and Omar Khayyam. Canada has produced two, seriously, Frankie, Northern Dancer, ever heard of him? Sonny Halo. Two other winners, Cavalcade and Pensive, are sons of mares who were bred stallions in England but were foaled in this country. That doesn't really count. That was just an extra fun fact. So, yes, Glenn gets a point. Number five.
I'm catching up, Frankie.
How long is a furlong? A, 1/8 of a mile. B, half a mile. C, there you go.
1/8 of a mile.
A furlong is 1/8 of a mile. Ding, 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 ding. Point for Frankie.
All right, well, if Frankie had gotten that one wrong, he would have been fired after he ran his first race.
That's true.
Yeah.
Glenn, you're allowed to say your name at your buzzer and try to answer these questions. Did you know you can try? Okay?
Yes, I did know. I did know.
All right, number six. Frankie, you're doing great. Number six, the Kentucky Derby. Traditionally held on the first Saturday in May, is the first leg of the what?
Frankie.
Is it Frankie?
The Triple Crown.
Ding, 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 ding. Point, Frankie.
Come on, Glenn.
I didn't know you were going to make them this easy. Jeez.
I told you, they started out hard. They just get easier. There's hard ones mixed in here. All right, number seven. Just you're not even trying on the easy ones, Glenn. Seriously, what are you complaining about? Number seven, who makes the rose garland that is awarded to the winning horse? Glenn.
Kroger.
You are correct,
wow.
Sir.
Ding, ding, ding.
The Kroger Company has been the official florist of the Kentucky Derby since 1987. After taking over the duties from Kingsley Walker Florist, Kroger began constructing the prestigious garland in one of its local stores for the public to view on Derby Eve.
The only reason I know that is because every year the newspaper in Louisville does an article on the ladies in Kroger there with all the roses, winding them all together all night long. So that's the only reason I knew that. There's some random
all right.
Trivia.
Well, that's good. That's good. Number eight, what is the official drink of the Kentucky Derby?
Mint julep.
Mint julep is correct. It is an iced drink made with bourbon, mint, and simple syrup, which, by the way, I made them a couple years ago, and that is just sugar water. That is it. It is usually served in a commemorative derby glass printed with the names of all the previous winners, of which I have all of the 70s, 80s, and some of the 90s, although I'm looking for some 60s. So if you have them, send me an email. All right, number nine. African Americans accounted for how many of the 15 jockeys who participated in the first ever running of the race? Is it
Glenn?
Glenn.
Oh, crap. It went too soon. See, I'm on a little bit of a delay, I think, because you're not hearing me right away. So I jumped in early figuring you wouldn't hear me until you got the ABC out. Let's see here. Well, I just read yesterday that the winning jockey was African-American in the first race. And then it said something about that. I'm going to say...
A, B, C, or D. Come on. Or the number.
B.
What'd you say?
B.
D as in dog or B as in boy?
Either one that's right will be fine.
I need an answer, sir. Final answer.
D as in dog.
Ding, 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 ding. You are correct. Woo! Unbelievable that you just got that right. D, 13. 13 of the 15 jockeys were African-Americans, and African-American jockeys rode 15 of the first 28 winners, one being the youngest rider ever to win the Derby, and that was Alonzo Clayton, who was 15 when he won in 1892.
Wow. Frankie, was that just the way it was in 1800? I mean, you know, African Americans couldn't get a job back then, they were the jockeys, huh?
I'm not the greatest historian, but you know, going back into the slavery days, where there were all the stable hands, were all African American, which included the jockeys.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
All right, we are moving on. Number 10, we only have 12, so three questions left. Number 10, true or false? A gray horse has won the Derby.
True. I mean, Frankie.
Frankie, what's your answer?
True.
True. Yes, there have been, check this out, 8 gray horses or roan. Bay horses have won 51 times. Chestnuts have won 43 times. Brown horses have won 17 times. Dark bay horses have won 10 times. Dark bay 3 times. And black horses have won 4 times. So, yeah, pretty much you've had some gray horses, but not very many compared to the bay horses. All right, number 11. That's point for Frankie. Number 11.
Hey, what's the score?
What's the score? Score update, Jennifer.
We've got Frankie ahead by 3.
Oh, damn.
So okay.
I need extra. I need extra
right.
credit.
Yeah, you're not getting it. We're not making you win this like you did with Alan on the quiz show. All right. Number 11, the fastest run of the Kentucky Derby at its present distance, clocked at 1 minute 59 and a
Frankie.
Half. Go ahead.
Secretariat.
In 1973, Secretary knocked the previous record holder, Northern Dancer, out of the top spot, and he went on to log progressively faster times in the other Triple Crown races that year. Ding, 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 point Frankie. That was awesome. Glenn, you
I knew
have that
when we talked about it yesterday, but Frankie jumped in too quick. I wasn't sure if it was going to be an A, B, C, or D, and I didn't want to get caught again.
You can just use the name. You can say Secretariat. All right, final question. And y'all better get this right, or Jennifer and I are going to kick your butt. Just kidding. Who was the first Kentucky starter and winner owned by a woman? Is it A, Elwood, B, Regret, C, Genuine Risk, or D, Winning Colors?
Glenn.
What's
C again?
Genuine Risk.
I'm going with that.
Frankie, would you like to take a guess?
Regret.
You're both wrong. Loser, loser, loser for both of you. In 1904, Elwood was the first horse owned by a woman. Her name was Laska Durnell to win the prestigious race. Now, the reason you didn't know that is because they threw tricks in. They threw a bunch of fillies in there, Regret, Genuine Risk, and Winning Colors. However, it didn't say that it was a filly owned by a woman. It just said a starter owned by the woman. And that was Elwood in 1904. So we need a final tally, Jennifer. Who's the winner?
The score is Glenn 3, Frankie 6.
Oh, jeez. I got whooped.
Yep. Actually,
Glenn
that would be 7. 3-7 is the final score. Good job, Jennifer. Yay, congratulations, Frankie. Let's see, I got to find this here for Frankie. I'm not the quickest with the sound effects, but congratulations. I hope that you have enjoyed playing here on Horses in the Morning. No, you're Derby!
You know, if Glenn would have beaten me, I wouldn't have been able to. I would have held my head in shame. Not that, Glenn, you're probably more historian than I am, but I have been in the business my whole life, so I'm supposed to know.
Yeah, you kind of ridden 5,000 races. That makes a difference, you know.
Frankie,
if
Glenn had beaten you, Frankie, you would not have been on the show ever again. So congratulations.
See?
Frankie, who do you got? Who do you got for tomorrow?
Well, I think we talked about this last week, but I do like my favorite going into this is, and I'm forgetting his name. Doolahan. That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, he's got a good post position too. Doolahan did like four or five.
Yeah, he's somewhere down towards the inside, but he tucks in. He'll probably file in somewhere behind the leaders and be in a good spot to save some ground. And if the spot opens up for him and he's got some finish, you know, we'll be. Could be very interesting.
I'll have another 19 spot. I'll have another, Frankie. You keep an eye on that horse. 19 spot. I'll have another.
That's right.
He just likes saying the name.
You'll have another mint julep.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I have another. And that's what everybody's going to be saying that bet on him. I'll have another. That's what's going to be happening.
All right. Frankie, thank you for joining us. Happy Oaks Day and happy Oaks. Derby weekend.
Thanks, guys. And
all right.
Have a great day.
You too. Tell Sandy hi.
What a good sport. He knew he was going to beat me. I mean, it was not much challenge there.
Well, it was I really expected a little bit better showing from you, considering we'd been talking about all of this for the past, I don't know, week and a half to maybe the last year. So I'm a little disappointed you didn't jump in there.
I was being a polite host and letting the guest win.
You lie like a rug right now. I can't even believe it.
Hey, we have Dean Reeves and Kathy Ritbo, who is the trainer of Mucho Macho Man, who is in the Alashiba Stakes today over at Churchill Downs, big race over there for three-year-olds and up. So Mucho Macho Man has a chance again to run on that same track he ran on the Kentucky Derby last year. And we talked to Dean and Kathy a little earlier and got caught up on what's going on over at the track. And we talked to them also a little bit about how important that draw is for the post-placement in a race. But first, Jamie, we had a question from a listener that I think you are the one to answer. Dolores sent a question. Yeah?
No, go ahead. Read the question.
Dolores sent us a question that said, message to Jamie, how is your horse doing on Kentucky Performance Products Nalox Advanced? I have a gelding that I want to put on it, a lot of the same symptoms as your horse. So there you go.
You know, I got to tell you that Nalox Advanced was such an awesome thing for my horse. You know, Jet has had a history of ulcers. He hates being brushed. He hates being messed with. He would kick at me when I would try to curry comb him. And he's very food aggressive as well. And a lot of what was diagnosed with him was just ulcers and gastric ulceration, basically. And that's what you get when you have a horse that kind of has those attitude problems. He didn't have a great coat. I was feeding this horse like buckets of grain. And you can't feed that much grain when you live out here in Phoenix because it gets so hot. So I was trying to figure out a way to feed him less. Well, they told me over there at Kentucky Performance Products that the thing to do would be to put them on Nalox Advanced. And I got to tell you, Dolores, it's awesome. It really, really helped him. First of all, because I really I wanted to make sure he ate it, these are little pink little pellets, and he would eat them out of my hand. That is how much he liked them, because he's so food crazy that he takes his bucket and he fudges it around and he spills half his grain. And I was like, I am not going to let you take this liquid gold, this pelleted gold that's going to save your life, and throw it on the ground. So I would feed it to him out of the hand and he would eat it. So horses that won't eat supplements, they really like this stuff. So it's easy to get it into them. And it really helped support, this is what I said too, is that it maintains normal digestive function. I was able to cut back on his grain. He actually gained weight. He's kind of a poor doer, always skinny. His coat improved. I'm not kidding you, but I got the big bucket of it, and I went through the whole thing, and I did it exactly like they said on the label, and it really made a big difference. Really, his coat, the amount of consumption of his grain, the thriftiness of him, and it really helped with the grooming too. He started to actually, and I know it's weird, he actually started to kind of enjoy being curry combed, at least along the top of the back. He's, you know, old habits die hard. He still every once in a while would try to kick me if I'm currying his belly, you know, but for the most part that went away. So I really recommend it to anybody whose horses have some sort of, you know, any sort of digestive problem. This helps the hind gut regulate, you know, and puts everything kind of back in working order. So I really suggest it to you if your horse has the same symptoms as Jet did, and give it a go. You know, KPP USA is where you're going to do it. And thanks for asking the question. I'm happy to talk about it. I got them on Join Armor too. So there you go. I love Kentucky Performance Product stuff.
Thank you, Dolores. We appreciate that. Well, we're going to get everybody in the mood for our interview with Dean and Kathy. in just a few minutes. But first, we got to get everybody in the mood, you know, continue the mood here for the Derby. And one of the ways to do that, we promised Templeton Thompson that we would play the song she has just released. It's now for sale on iTunes, Run for the Roses by Templeton Thompson. So we're going to bring you that and then the interview. Hi, Dean, and welcome back. It's so good to talk to you again at Derby time.
It's great to be back. It's nice to still have Mucho Macho Man racing, and we look forward to today's race. And it's exciting to be speaking with you two today on the show.
Well, what's it like? I mean, is it different this time because your horse isn't running in the Derby, but you're still there running on Oaks Day? you know, is the atmosphere still as exciting?
It is. It's a great atmosphere for everybody that enjoys horse racing, and it for us it toned down about 100%, but it's still exciting. And with our horse, he's still a pretty good fan favorite. So we still have you know, a lot of people talking to us and asking about him and watching him on the track, and he's training very, very well, and we're just having a good time being here, but it is a little more laid back than it was last year.
I bet.
Last year must have been like walking around inside of a pressure cooker for about 10 days.
Yeah, it was. It was so many things swirling in the air and going on, it was hard to feel like you had any control at all.
Well, alluding to last year when Mucho Macho Man was running in the Kentucky Derby for Reeves Racing, and is it's Dream Team. Got to make sure I got that right. What did it feel like when it came to draw day, which is, I think it's on Wednesday each year. What did it feel like for you guys as horse owners, but also the first time you ever went to a derby as horse owners?
Well, that was a very, very exciting moment of the whole Derby experience for us. It is important where your post position ends up. So the draw was it was pretty tense, and we were late in the numbers to be called out after, and there were not a lot of good spots left. So when we drew 13, we were ecstatic, and the anticipation and the excitement of that was, it was probably one of the real highlights for me of the Kentucky Derby.
Do they do it in an auditorium, in a little room? What's the atmosphere like?
It's a large room, packed house that they do it. It's on TV with a lot of the media there. And they do a nice job of keeping the excitement in the air, and each draw that comes up through pulling a number and then also a name, and then that's how it process runs through the 20 horses.
So for a lot of us who are not intimately involved in the racing industry, we've never attended a post-draw for any race, much less the Kentucky Derby. In the Secretariat movie that we've all seen a million times, one of the scenes in there that we all have a good time with is the draw when two of the trainers are sort of having a little testosterone-filled argument over posts and things like that. Does that kind of thing actually happen at the draws? Maybe Kathy could answer this one because she, I'm sure, attends many, many, many draws. Does that kind of bantering actually happen, or is that Disney-fied?
A little bit of Disney side, but I think that, you know, sometimes it just kind of breaks the, you know, the anticipation of waiting for your number. So sometimes you'll, you know, talk back and forth, or, you know, most of the time it's already started, you know, the week before. So it's a little bit inside jokes. There'll be jokes back and forth. So you just try to keep everything light because it is a very tense time. And we basically are all on the same team when it comes down to it.
You know, Kathy, when I saw the picture today in the paper of the girl that looked like Vanna White posting the colors on the board, I thought, wow, this is not technical at all. I was expecting a big, you know, electronic monitor when they pulled the name. But no, it's this lady just hanging up the colors.
Yeah, it was exciting. I mean, it's all very real. They keep it real. It's a good time when you're in there. It's a good time. It starts setting up that the race is going to be real. You know, we're ready to go.
Yeah, I guess that is one of the first things, you know, other than arriving and all the press and everything, that's one of the first ceremonies that really does make it. In a couple of days, I'm going to be racing in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, that for us, I thought that when they put our colors on the board, I really felt like we were here and we were really racing in the Kentucky Derby.
Now, how important is the post position in a race, Kathy?
You know, sometimes it's not as important as others. It depends what kind of a horse that you have. You know, if you have a horse that needs to lay closer, it's hard to get a real outside post. some horses it doesn't matter to, you know, they'll stay in the gate all day and they'll be okay, you know, a long time and they'll be okay. And then sometimes you get these antsy ones and you just hope they don't get, you know, a number that has to wait a long time or it's stuck on the inside or the outside in the SFX.
Especially when it's a large field. So you have an intimate knowledge for each horse in your training stable, Kathy. When you enter a horse in a race, do you have sort of a plan A, B, and C depending on what post position he gets? Is that something that you kind of flesh out in your mind well before the draw, or is that something that you wait until the draw happens and then go, okay, this is what we're going to do?
Yeah, we kind of wait, and then you give the jockey some suggestions on what to do. You know, we ultimately leave it up to the rider because the rider is the one who has the knowledge to do that job.
In that very second,
We kind of tell him what I think, how the horse is in training, what's going on, and then we have the confidence in them to take it from there.
Wow, that's exciting.
So where does Mucha Macha Man like to be in the gate?
He's super. He'll stand in there, and he has a lot of patience. He's very professional and focused, so it doesn't really matter to him where he is. He's a really good gate horse, very patient.
And
he always breaks really well and straight, so he's a dream.
And where is he at later today in the Alashiba?
He's going to be a number 4, is perfect number.
You like that?
Perfect.
Yeah. That's my favorite number, by the way, so now I need to put some money on Triple M.
Yeah, you're going to have to go find the betting parlor.
That's the lucky number.
And he's the favorite going out, too, isn't he?
Yes. He'll be one of the favorites.
Well, that's terrific. That's so exciting for you guys. How does the media circus affect your training schedule? Does it affect it at all, or do you try and work around the media, or what?
I try to just do what's right for the horse, and wherever everything else falls, that's the way we do it.
She just blows us off, Jason.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
No. If it works for the horses, then it will work for me. I try to take care of the horses first, what we have to do, keep it nice and calm and, good energy, and then whatever else I can do.
So are you one of those out there 4 o'clock every morning working the horses, or do you wait till the sun comes up?
No, 4 o'clock.
Oh, really?
When did this whole tradition of 4 a.m. starts for the racehorse business? I want to know who started that, and I'm angry at them.
Me too. We don't love it either. They could tell you they love it, but I don't think everybody really loves it.
It makes it tough to have a life outside of racing, doesn't it?
You know what? You just really have to keep everything in order and be on tight schedules because you only have so much of the day left.
Yeah.
I think if they actually started training at noontime, that we'd be training until nighttime.
Yeah, that's true. I imagine, Dean, that the owners don't like it very much either, the whole 4 o'clock in the morning thing.
No, it's extremely difficult for me, and they know that. Sometimes I just can't make it. I mean, it just turns out that you show up, and they say, "Well, we're all finished." And I think, "Well, okay, I'll go back home."
Patty keeps them out too late. That's the problem. All the
she wants to go have dinner the night before, and the rest of us are trying to go to bed.
Well, Derby Week's all about the parties too, though, isn't it? It really is.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Now, does Patty have her outfit picked out? And Kathy, do you have yours picked out for today? Well, you have to have yours picked out for today, obviously. But for tomorrow as well?
I had a few choices. I always, purchase 4 or 5 different things and then kind of see how the day is going and go like that.
There you go.
Person.
That's Patty, too. She has today's outfit picked out, plus a couple of alternate plan A, B, C, and D, and then the same operations for tomorrow for the Derby. She's got enough. We brought a van load of clothes up here.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're anything like me, you got your suit and your tie, and you're just ready to go. There's not much thinking about it, Dean.
That's right. Let's race is all I want to do. Let's get to the track.
Glenn, you would have to have any racehorse you owned racing in Florida only because you haven't sat. You haven't been in a suit for any reason except a funeral in about 15 years.
I'd have to do it where I could do the the Hawaiian shirt and shorts, says the owner.
So, Kathy, how many horses do you have running today on Friday?
We have two.
You have two running?
We have two. We have, yes, we have one in the Alley Sheep and Lucha Macho Man, and we also have Silver Menace in the American Turf.
Silver Menace. Okay.
Silver Menace. Okay, write that one down, Glenn.
I did. I'm writing it down.
And for Saturday, do you have any horses running on Saturday?
No.
So you get to take a deep breath on Saturday.
And enjoy my day.
enjoy. See, because last year, there it's a different kind of enjoy last year than this year.
Do you remember any of it, Kathy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I believe me. I cherished every minute.
That's terrific. Well, I know you guys are rushed on time. We thank you so much for joining us here again this morning. Give Patty our best, and good luck to all three of you later today. We'll be rooting for both your horses.
Well, thank you very
much.
We appreciate
you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And, wow, good job, you guys. That was awesome. What nice people, and nice to hear from Kathy, too. So good job on the interview. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. That's KPPUSA.com. And we're going to do really bad ads here in just a second. The prize pack is a Redmond Rock gift pack, brought to you by RedmondEquine.com. Those are the rocks your horses will actually eat in the pasture. It's kind of weird, but they're awesome. Horses really like them. But today's sponsor also brought to you by Holland Horse Tack, and they're bringing to the U.S. and Canada a full line of horse protection wear by Indra. It's a name well known by European riders for 25 years and the creator of high-quality horse boots, leg wraps, and back pads for the equine athlete. All Indra products are manufactured to the highest specifications with the finest of materials, providing a sleek look, flexibility, protection, and support of your horse's legs and back. And this is where you're going to find the leg protector boots for your horse by Indra. I love, love, love these boots. It's flexible, it's supportive, it's protective, and it's called Hypalon. It's a high-quality, breathable material, and they protect the tendons like a wrap, but they also go under and support the fetlock. And what my favorite part of these boots is the Velcro is stretchy, so you can really get that wrap underneath the fetlock tight, and then get all of them have stretchy Velcro on them. So they're available in four sizes to fit any horse's needs, and it's Indra, a name well-known by European horses and riders for 25 years. Check out these boots. They're awesome. They're called leg protector boots, and they're available at hollandhorsetack.com.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, as Jamie said, it's time for really bad ads, and our prize this week is the Redmond Rock gift pack. Congratulations. We'll find out who the winner here is in shortly, but you can find them at redmondequine.com. All right, Jamie, did you want to start really bad ads today with your real, really bad ad story?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. You know, I look for these ads for this show, but yesterday I came across the title on Craigslist called Gorgeous Andalusian Gelding. I'm like, oh, Gorgeous Andalusian Gelding. Got to click on that no matter what. So 15-year-old gray 16-hand gelding. This is the ad. Used on trail and training young stallions from his back so he can be ponied and has ponied other horses. He has experience with hobbles. He free lunges and changes direction on voice commands. He lived on a ranch for 13 years and has a brand on left hip. He does enjoy arena work as well and was broke to cart. Works off leg cues and voice commands, no cribbing, not lame, no colic in his past. Travel from East Coast to West without even a sniffle when he got off the trailer. Adjusted to the desert climate with ease. Easy keeper on grass hay, a little grain at night. A month ago, I had his teeth floated, vaccines, dewormed. His feet were just done. My intentions were to keep him. I always wanted an Andalusian, but I can't keep two horses. And basically, my heart belongs to the first horse. He's registered. He's a big boy. He's big boned, willing to trade this is a great sentence. Willing to trade or partial trade for non-living items. Would love a two-horse trailer. No reasonable offer refused.
We get that a lot, don't we, Amy?
We really do. Now, so, okay, not to be whatever. I'm going to Spain in like 3 weeks to ride Andalusians. The fact that there's one not too far away, and by the way, the price she had on it is $2,500. And it's dead broken. It says, you know, basically it's like works on leg cues and voice commands. I thought, $2,500 on my dream Andalusian gelding. I could go see him, maybe pick him up as a lesson horse because I could always use another lesson horse. Let me figure out a way to make this work. So I call her. She tells me something about how the horse was. I don't even want to get into the weirdness of the story. But I said, listen, just go ahead, and if you could, I would love to see some pictures. And Jennifer, you can go ahead and post it on Facebook right now. The horse is an hour and a half away. And she's like, oh, yeah, people just keep wasting my time. They come out, and they just want to ride in Andalusia. They don't even know how to ride. So I don't want anybody to waste my time. I've had so much of my time wasted, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. So I said, well, so I don't waste your time. If you could just send me a picture of him. I said, if you have a video of pictures, just something where I can, you know, take a look at him and see. Because, you know, when I see my dream Andalusian, all I have to do is look at his face. And I will know whether this is the horse that I want to make my dream come true, my dream of owning a white Andalusian. And all I need to do is look into his eyes and see him, or, you know, just any sort of photo that I can get. And the pictures now, Glenn, would you describe the photo that she sent me?
She sent you a picture of a, I guess is an Andalusian. It's a kind of white horse standing behind a gate wearing a completely covering his face fly mask. So you pretty much can't see eyes or face or anything. All you see is the body of a gray horse.
Sort of. Because he's not even in the middle of the picture. He's over on the side in the shade. And you can't even – and there's like – she didn't even open the stall door to take a picture. She actually took the picture from the outside of the stall with the bars in front of it and everything. How – you want to talk about wasting time. Seriously? No wonder. I don't want to waste time. I wrote her back, and I couldn't help it. I texted her back. She texted me this picture. I texted her back, and I go, how about one where I can actually see the horse?
Well, you see,
that
if you
elicited
if you read,
no response.
If you learned from doing really bad ads that you have to read between the lines. And what this picture says is she's scared to death of this wild monster, and she doesn't want to open the gate. So you're never going to get another picture.
That's a good point. Jen, can you copy and paste, Jen, what I wrote to you when I sent this and just put it in the comment section? I can't get it off my phone because I sent it to you on my phone. But it just kind of describes the story a little bit. But, yes, this is my gorgeous Andalusian gelding. Now, needless to say, when I wrote back, can I have a picture that I can actually – I wrote back, how about when I can actually see the horse? And that no response came back. So I don't think I'm going to be going to drive an hour and a half one way to see my gorgeous Andalusian gelding. So sad, but maybe it just wasn't meant to be. Although I'll probably
really bad ads. That's a new segment. Really bad ads comes to life. Well, the next one was sent in by Aspen. What a great name, Aspen. I love that name. This was 5-year-old stallion needs a home in Sioux City. We rescued this guy last winter. Oh, by the way, there's a theme to this week's Really Bad Ads, and it is stallions. It is boys that have not been cut. That's the theme.
Gelb.
5-year-old stallion needs a home. We rescued this guy last winter from a situation where he was malnourished in a pen on an unoccupied farm acreage. God, she knows you, Jamie. He is sort of a runt, only about 600 pounds. He has a cleft palate, meaning that the tissue in the back of his mouth did not close up properly as he developed inside the mother. His partially open membrane allows smaller particles of food to work up into his nasal passages. Therefore, he snorts a lot and occasionally has little food coming out of his nostrils while eating grain. Oh! First of all, this sounds like a Wednesday morning the horse segment. It doesn't have any effect whatsoever when he eats grass or hay or when he drinks water. He can breathe fine and has plenty of energy. He is not broke to ride, but when he's alone without any females to distract him, he leads on a rope just fine. Read between the lines. We have no idea of his breed, but presume he's a Bixter. He is intact stud, and he's got a mean streak in him that when he's exposed to mares. We recently bought an Arabian gelding, and this guy has declared war. Therefore, we need him off the place. He's free for the taking, and I'll even give someone $25 for gas to come get him. Reply with Toby. Reply with Toby in the subject line. We don't open any of our emails coming through Craigslist. Well, here you got a guy who snorts his food through his nose and will basically kill any other horse that's in his area. There you go. Sign
me
up.
Oh, my God. Geld this horse or shoot him and put him out of his misery. Please, my God. Shoot the owner of this horse and put them out of their misery. That's really what needs to be done. That is terrible. Thank you, Aspen, for sending that in. That is classic. Classic, classic, classic. You know, that is the first time that we have had somebody offer to pay the person to take the horse. We joked about it.
I think it's also the first cleft palate we've ever had, too.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even know horses got those. Whatever. All right. The next one is from Glenn Forrester. And try color paint miniature Jack Donkey. People. Geld. Jack, a 2.5-year-old tri-colored miniature donkey Jack that is still intact. He is gray and white paint with a dark brown cross on his back. He is extremely gentle, leads most of the time, but will let you catch him anywhere. He isn't a problem to worm, trim, catch, etc. Does get very vocal at feeding time. Has never been bred, but will try to breed anything that stands still long enough. Does not get along well with other Jacks, but does well with most geldings, all Jennies, and horses. He gets along well with the ladies.
He gets along with all the Jennies as long as they stand still.
Yeah, most of the time. He is small, so he would be a good breeder. He is kept with two of our... What does that have to do with anything? This is like more information than you could possibly want. Shut up. This is terrible. He is small, so he would be a good breeder. He is kept with two of our quarter horse stallions and does perfectly fine with them. Why do you have two quarter horse stallions together anyway? I mean, just that. All right. He will try to breed a mare. He does not like dogs that he does not know, but he loves children. Don't let your mind go there. He is not broke to ride or to drive. He is just a pet. I would like to see him go to a home that has another mini donk for companionship. He is depressed that he has to stay separated from the other mini donks, and it really isn't fair to him. Castrate him!
He's horny. Ugh. He's not depressed. He's horny.
Ugh. It's not fair to him. Take off his cojones. I just can't take the chance that he will sneak up to one of my quarter horse mares and take advantage of her when she's laying down. Are you kidding me?
I don't know why this is so funny.
I can't take the chance that he'll sneak up on one of my quarter horse mares and take advantage of her when she's laying down. And again, do you really want to sell this? Because the next line is, I will post pictures of him as soon as I remember to take my camera to the barn. No tire kick. I don't have the time. I know. And then the next one, I don't have the time to deal with anybody who's not really interested. So if somebody is truly interested, email me this posting back to me and I will get back with you. I might be interested in trading for a mini Ginny.
You don't need to say anymore. We can just go on. I don't know who sent the next one in, Jennifer. I think we lost who sent this one in. This was, by the way, we're continuing the stud theme here. Freckles Playboy, Doc's Hickory Stallion, $250. 3-year-old stud, he is 14 hand, will grow some more, very flashy built boy. He has had all groundwork done and has been saddled, just needs finished out, would be great to add to your breeding operation. Can send pics. His right ankle is bigger than the other, but does not slow him down because he can run, jump, play with all the other horses. If you'd like more information, please call or email me.
Isn't that fun? Yeah, I still don't understand why. Which right ankle? And first of all, they're not ankles; they're fetlocks. I guess that's what you're talking about. And he has two. So which? I hate those people. All right, this one, another one. I sat down yesterday to find some really bad ads, and amazingly enough, I just typed horse into Craigslist, and I found about 15 in about 5 seconds. So this one is another one. 12-yard X-race mare, $7,500. I have to spell things for you because it says excellent mare for breeding a nice colt. B-R-E-A-D-I-N-G. Breading a nice colt. If bred, B-R-E-A-D, now this is $7,500 is going to be worth it because it says, if bred to a nice stallion, very good chances to get a champion racehorse.
Well, there.
If you breed this mare to a nice stallion, you've got very good chances to get a champion racehorse. She is very good breaded on her dam and sire. Again, B-R-E-A-D-E, like a loaf of bread. She is very good breaded on her dam and sire. She's a full Turo bred, and her name is Spectacular Onzi. For more information, you can reach me at blah, blah, blah. You can also text me. Stop breeding! Go ahead.
Amber sent us this one, and this is a first because we've never quite had a horse. We have a lot of misspellings, but we've never quite had this misspelling before. The title is 3-year quarter house, $150. We are selling a 3-year-old male red Rollin gleeding quarter house. He is Huttler. He is Huttler broke only. In teased, people should call. Okay. If you're trying to sell a horse and people are going to be looking for horses on Craigslist, you should not spell it H-O-U-S-E because you're going to get people looking at this and going, I can buy a whole house for $150. They're going to be calling you left and right.
It's a quater house. Man, that's awesome. Quater house. Go ahead. And why don't I go ahead and do the next one is 8-year-old thoroughbred. And this was sent in by Christine. Here you go. You know, we should actually just call on this one because he sounds amazing. We really hate to have to sell our board, but we're moving and can't take him with. Stormy is the perfect example of a happy retired racehorse. We trained him in everything from trails to cross country as well as dressage and jumps. Born 2/28/04 and won many races and prize money, then abused. We rescued him in 2007 and completely trained and loved him. Guy gilding, standing over 15 hands, great with all, and smarter than most humans. No faults and in perfect health and temperament. Wart is priceless, but must sell this week, $1,250. So you say he's priceless, but you're only charging $1,250 for this priceless perfect horse. Okay, our boy is perfect on trails and even parades. He gets along good with other horses and animals, dodges and spook or throw tantrums. I've been training horses for over 25 years. All prices are firm, need sold now, cash only, we have to move tomorrow! He's priceless. But
priceless.
Tomorrow only, you can get him for $1,250. I don't think she understands what priceless means.
Well, the trailer of the week goes to Dawn Bailey. Dawn, you sent a classic in, and this has a first. Now, this is your classic two-horse round front trailer that looks like it's been hand-painted with a brush white. It's patched all over. I mean, welded patches all over this thing. It's probably rust from end to end underneath. And usually, though, when we get these trailer pictures, Jennifer's going to post it on Facebook, when we get these really bad ad trailer pictures, they have, like, flat tires, and the tires are probably 80 years old, and they're completely dry rotted. No, that's not the case with this baby. This baby has rims like you would put on the finest hot rod. This has, like, serious wheels on this thing. Their rims must have cost $2,000 between all four tires.
Yeah, this is it's ridiculous is what it is. These are like low-profile tires, and I think they're spinners. I think that this POS trailer has spinners on it that the brothers in downtown Atlanta would be jealous of.
I know.
Maybe this is somebody's house. Maybe this is somebody's house.
It could be, or they sold the jacked-up old Monte Carlo, and they had to do something with the tires. They just put them on the old trailer.
I think it's hot. These are stolen. Awesome.
Yeah,
let's put that
that's
up.
That's probably the truth right there is it's stolen. All right, and our winner this week of the Redmond Rocks gift pack is?
It's Lisa from Wisconsin. Congratulations. I hate you for sending this because now I have to read it. It's looking to trade horse and saddle. Hi, no punctuation. And every time I say two, it is the number two. And I say you, it is the letter U. This is like teenage text speak in actual really bad ad form. Okay. Hi, I have a kit saddle and a mare horse. I would like to trade. Blaze is going to be two in May, and she has had a saddle on her and started working with the bite in her mouth. She don't kick. She loves to be brushed. She will come to you in the pasture. I'm looking for a pony that is rideable. I already have one that is rideable, just looking for another one that is rideable. Blaze is a great horse and is rideable and just needs something for kids to ride that they ain't fighting over one horse, LOL. She hasn't had her shots. Like I said, we just started working with her.
What exactly was that again? I have no idea what you just said, to be honest with you.
I really don't even know what she's... Is she selling the horse? Is she buying the horse? She needs a rideable horse. I don't even understand. But I do get the, hi, I have a kid saddle and a mare horse. I don't get it.
And she has a bite in her mouth, apparently.
She has a bite, and she don't kick, and I'm tired of these kids. They ain't fighting over one horse no more. You know, I should read it like that. Hey, I have a kid saddle and a mare horse. I'd like to trade. Blaze is going to be two, and she's made. She's had a saddle on her and started working with the bite in her mouth, but she don't kick. She loves to be brushed and will come to you in the pasture. I'm looking for a pony that's rideable. I already have one that's rideable. Just looking for another one that's rideable. Blaze is not rideable. It's a great horse. Just needs something for the kids to ride that they ain't fighting over one horse. She hadn't had her shots, like I said. We just started working with her.
That was excellent. Let's end the week with that. You can't get any better than that, Jamie. Thank you so much to everybody that submitted. Lisa, a loyal listener from Wisconsin, please send your address to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, and we will get it over to the good folks at Redmond Rock to send out your gift pack. Been a fun week. Enjoy the Derby, everybody, this weekend. Everybody going to Derby parties, going to be drinking. Be safe. Don't drive after you drink at the Derby party. And you too, Jamie. You be careful this weekend. I know you're bringing your horse out for a jumper show, so have a good time with that.
Thank you. First ever jumper show. If anybody takes anything away from today's show, it is geld your freaking horse. Seriously, please. Spay, neuter, and geld. Go, gemologist. Woo-hoo!
Little run. We're born to run about Barbaro from Templeton Thompson to take the week out. Have a terrific week. I'll have another.
Well, I never to crawl and I never to toe the line. No man is master than me. I ain't that kind. I just put on my trail.